Blog Talk Radio.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays and happy new year to come. I am Pam Ray. With me is my co-host, Intimidus Rex. Rex and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. And this is Break On Through Christmas Week show, where we are going to be delving into poetry inspired by sledding and sleigh rides and some Christmas artwork that inspired some Christmas time stories. I am definitely looking forward to tonight's poetry. It should be beautiful and festive. And hello, Rex. How's it going?
All right. And Kate, if you're going to go that route, you've got to go all in with the whole thing. So it's don't you go where the huskies go, and don't you eat that yellow snow.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Now, there's some wise advice, wise advice for sure. And speaking of Kate, hello, Kate. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here, and I will not be going anywhere near huskies or yellow snow, for sure.
I would go near huskies. I just wouldn't go near the yellow snow.
Oh, it's horrible. And I started
oh, that
too.
Sounds like somebody who's imparted upon it once or twice.
Really? Oh, my goodness me. Oh,
oh
no.
Too funny. So, and how are you doing tonight, Kate?
I'm wide awake. I had a couple of hours sleep last week.
Oh, wow. That always helps. And, yeah, I mean, like I said, we got a great lineup of poetry. Last night I managed to, Naomi says, snowflakes have dirt in them. Yep, thank you, Pam, for ruining those magical tongue-catching snowflake moments. LOL. That's what I did. I brought up a commenting on a poem on our show last night that me and Naomi did together, and I mentioned that snowflakes all have like a speck of dirt in the center of them. And she's like, what? Really? Is that true? Oh, my gosh. And,
well, there's volcano ash, and amongst other things.
Yep. Yep, exactly. But speaking of Naomi, welcome, Naomi. Glad you could join us.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Who's on? Who's on? I didn't catch anybody. I know Pam and Rex are there.
Me, Rex, and Kate.
Oh,
and
hi, Kate. Hello. And who?
I feel like it's been so long since we've all seen each other.
Well,
now poor. Yeah. The show is about to begin.
Yeah. And supposedly right from the hot tub, too. Hope you put on your sexy Speedo, Rex.
never owned a Speedo.
If he ends up rolling around in the snow, he's going to have some shrinkage in that Speedo.
That's a wing ding dingling in the snow go turtling.
Oh my gosh. Too funny. Now I am looking at the board. I know that I know that Naomi, you have a right on the board. How long will you be able to stay? Will you be able to stay for a little bit, or do you need to move on?
I'll be able to stay, let's say, for an hour, I suppose, because I have the house to clean up tomorrow before my kids arrive. So, yeah, I have to clean a bit, you know, sometime.
I get it.
Well, that's what kids are for. Make them clean when they get there.
Yeah, sure. My dreams.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you just tell them, hey, for all the messes you made me clean up, this one's on you.
Yeah, that's what I should do. No, they would do, but you know.
Oh, my gosh, too funny. And, Kate, I also know that you have a poem on the board. Will you be able to stay for a while, or do you need to read and run?
No, I can stay for a while. If that's okay, I'd love to.
Absolutely, great. All right, Rex, whenever you're ready, we can get the snowball rolling.
All righty then. A very happy Christmas Eve. By Rodrigo, 22. You all know that flighty festive feeling, tummy butterflies that flutter in delight, all finally done, and it is Christmas Eve, the time to sit back and enjoy the night. Having just returned to our apartment, Susie had decided to spring a surprise. In black lingerie draped in fairy lights, fatigue vanished to a feast for my eyes. She lay back seductively on the couch, her sallow skin a wondrous silky sheen, luminescence caressing lit long legs, the stuff of every man's wanton dream. Glowing arms adorned her cute shape, tracing the curves of a fulsome chest, illuminating her sexy plunging crevice, metamorphosized butterflies to excess. The bright lights cascading everywhere through a V-shaped thong between her thighs, my stiffening reaction of absolute delight, desire to kiss every place I laid my eyes. Forever cherishing the memories of joy, delighting in her sultry feminine sights, an enchanting, lustful Christmas evening, mutual adoring and twinkling fairy night. And boom.
Ooh, Rich, that was an absolutely wonderful read. And if anybody hasn't already guessed, this was the one carryover that we had from the Art of Seduction, Beneath the Christmas Lights. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, wow. I'm happy I arrived just for this. Wow. Oh, my gracious. Yeah, what a wonderful sensual light. This is hot. Oh, my gracious. I love the description of the woman in there, especially, you know, that she has a fulsome chest. You know, something that I like very much, because you know we have all these models, these top models today going around with flat chests, and you know, then it's the fashion these days, and you know, a woman should have curves, and so I like that. But this is so well written, illuminating her sexy plunging crevice. Metaphors, butterflies to excess. I love that, how he phrased that, metaphors, butterflies to excess. The bright lights cascading everywhere to a V-shaped thong between her thighs. My stiffening reaction of absolute delight, desire to kiss every place I laid my eyes. Wonderful, you know, I think he had a lot of fun composing this, Rodrigo did, and great right to the prompt of Christmas light. So wonderfully well done, beautiful rhythm and flow to it, and wonderfully written.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this one won a HM in the contest, which was not a new contest to judge. I kept juggling the eight rights around, trying to get in the right order. Yeah, wonderful comment, Naomi. And Kate, your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was wonderful. Definitely put a lot into this. You know, the most I've ever put out for Santa has been milk and cookies. So this has gone one better, I think. Definitely. I love it. And I love the fact that, this is explicit. Then we get to that stanza that Naomi quoted. And he's, he's sallow skin, silky sheen, long legs, and every man's wanting dream. And suddenly we have tracing the curves of her fulsome chest. I love the coyness. Just go for breath, for God's sake, man. Go for it. Oh, I thought it was... I love that. So cute. Because you're thinking, I can't put down breasts. That's just a bit too much for this time of the year. I'll just go for fulsome chest. Oh, my God. That completely slayed me through everything else. Stiffening reactions. Never mind the stiffening reactions. I'll just go for the fulsome chest. Oh, lovely. I loved it. Thank you so much. It was sexy and funny and great. Thank you for sharing.
That's because he was staying off the pair, not just the singularity.
There you go.
Wonderful.
Great
wonderful.
Comment, Keith. And Rex, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, he does offer a very happy Christmas Eve, so... Nothing like ringing in Christmas with a bang, tapping the baubles and rolling in with the alliteration, a flighty festive feeling. And there was another one too that really stung. Luminescence of lithesome lusty legs, I think it was. I can't find it in the moment. But I did like that one stanza, the fulsome chest, the sexy plunging crevice, and the metamorphosed butterflies to excess. What a ring, right there with those three lines.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The imagery and metaphors in this is great. It has wonderful rhyme and flow. Really was an excellent sensual write on coming home to a Christmas surprise. I really liked the bright light cascading everywhere to a V-shaped thong between her thighs, my stiffening reaction of absolute delight, desire to kiss every place I laid my eyes. And then, of course, I also like the end stanza, which I thought brought in the fairy lights and the Christmas lights quite well, forever cherishing the memories of joy, delighting in her sultry feminine sights. Wonderful lines and very well done. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
You Still Wonder by, Do You Still Wonder by Puddles 33. Make off SoundCloud.
All right. Yes, we do. And you find that. Here we go.
Do You Still Wonder by Barb Christing. My son, as you sit at your desk in your college dorm, do you think about our tickle fights on the living room floor? Where your toddler giggles erupted and volcanic laughter spilled over our days? Those molten days, have they hardened into a foundation of joy? You have always had a gift for finding wonder in the crevices of life. Does that wonder live on? Do the golden leaves of autumn spiraling in the wind still make your heart flutter? Do you race to catch them mid-flight, if only in your mind? As you walk from class to class, trudging through the snow, do you raise your face to the heavens to taste the snowflakes that melt upon your tongue? Does the glow of the moon, sparkling on winter's white carpet, silence your voice and command you stop your endless motion as it once did? Do you still stand in awe of nature's beauty? In the mind-numbing task of studying and planning for your future, do you notice the first crocus of spring? Do you remember when your tiny hands dug away the snow to make room for that determined, tender bud? You were so excited to see that first flash of color as the seasons changed. Now your seasons have changed. No longer a child, you are a man. Oh, that your heart would remain as pure as a summer rain, transparent, unsoiled, born of a limitless sky. My dear, sweet son, no matter where you roam, I hope puddles will always be your stomping ground.
Aw, this is another one of those poems that just really makes you sigh, and it's so sweet and beautiful. I'm really glad we saved this, Naomi, and got to hear the SoundCloud tonight. You know,
absolutely.
Wonderful. Yes, yes. And thank you for the SoundCloud puddles. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Rex, your thoughts.
The questions are they're questions, yes, but not really. It's kind of a dare to remember the notes of wonder and awe within those questions. Keep that sense of childhood in the mind, because she does get on that note of keep transparent, be unspoiled, born of a limitless sky. The idea, as long as you keep a little magic within your heart and mind, a little bit of a child within you, things will always be a little brighter than the darkness that you walk in, that you will end up walking in, because, hey, everybody hits a little bit of dark. So actually, I like that thought, the double note on the last two lines. I hope puddles will always be your stomping ground. The note to not just the puddles boys love to splash in, but the fact that puddles is her chosen nom de plume. So that being a... her being the stomping ground, motherhood.
Yes, yes. And the idea of knowing Great observation there, Rex. I had noticed that same thing. Wonderful comment, because yeah, it's that whole idea of letting your child know that even when they become a grown up, a man or a woman, and go out on their own, they still can come back home. And I should mention that this was our one carryover from the contest that Phil ran, which was the quote of, "I hope you never lose your sense of wonder," on a picture of a little boy looking up at the snowy sky and, you know, at the pine tree. And so definitely wonderful prompt. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, that's lovely. It's amazing that you have these memories of the mother will hold the memories of her child when young. And, you know, sometimes children don't remember that far back. So this is lovely to remind a son how much of a connection he has with his mother. And it's still there whenever he needs it. It's there, which is great. I envy anybody who has that kind of relationship. I think it's very sweet. And obviously here's a mother who loves her son so very much. So yes, beautifully written and very heartfelt. And so thank you very much for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, this is so well written and, you know, so well read again by Puddles 33. And, you know, she's such an amazing, kind and humble woman with her poetry writing, you know, and just so classy, because, you know, I talk to her, we text back and forth every now and then, and, you know, I know she just loves our radio shows, and, you know, she thanks everybody that's on the show and that comments on her poem. Well, she's, you know, through me, she shares that thanks with you all. So at every single show. And so this is, wow, this is just amazing. And, you know, she doesn't only touch on the, you know, the keeping of the innocence, but the keeping of, I see that in the stanza, in the mind-numbing task of studying and planning for your future. Do you notice the first crocus of spring? Do you remember when your tiny hands dug away the snow to make, that isn't it. Yeah, that's an amazing one, but no. Okay. Does the glow of the moon sparkling on winter's white carpet silence your voice and command you stop your endless motions as it once did? Do you stand in awe of nature's beauty? So not only does she address the question of the keeping the childhood innocence, but also that sort of wonderment of being able to live in the moment, to stop and just enjoy the what's going on and take in your surroundings and just live in that moment and appreciate it. So, you know, she addresses that too. And just a wonderful, wonderful letter. I imagine a son getting a letter like this from their mother, and just, you know, how endearing it would be. Just amazingly well written. Bravo, bravo.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. Yeah, this is so beautiful. It's a beautiful and heartfelt write on words of love and wisdom from mother to son. It kind of has the vibe of the song Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd, which is, like, you know, one of my favorites. I just love how she asks the questions. And as you were saying, Naomi, you can just imagine it being a letter. I do think, you know, it's just beautiful how she opens it up. My son, as you sit at your desk in your college dorm, do you think about our tickle fights on the living room floor? Like, you hope and you want your children to have the best memories about you. And to remember those little moments where you spent time together. And so the questions in this are wonderful. And I really like, do you still stand in awe of nature's beauty? In the mind-numbing task of studying and planning for your future, do you notice the first crocus of spring? You know, I think it's so important to remember the little details of life that make it so beautiful, and to take time to just breathe and to look around and to notice it all, and not to let go of that wonderment. So beautiful, right, and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
No School in Chicago Today by Pink Fairy 5. Oh, Naomi, why don't you read the front for us? Naomi.
All right.
Okay, so No School in Chicago Today. A cheer rang throughout our house when the announcement was made. Chicago schools forever canceled, but today the buses cannot get through. Children who had the energy of half slugs suddenly rallied and dancing, and they were singing and chanting, laughing, twirling and spinning. What happened? Asked their father, who did not hear the announcement. No school, I explained. He rolled his hazel eyes. Our three children immediately began fighting over whose gloves these were, who should have the warmest hat, and who lost those, and who had lost whose other boot. Unmatched but happy, I finally urged them outside to join their friends. We live close enough to the sledding hill to watch the action. Every child who should have been in school may have been there. I stayed inside waiting for them to get so red-cheeked they would come back. I wished I still had this kind of enthusiasm for sledding. It is always a commotion like this. My husband asked. Most school days he is dressed and gone before we get up. It is usually worse, I told him. We are usually looking for book bags. End poem.
Oh, great read, Naomi. And what an absolutely delightful write. And also, I like to say I find it very ironic that I'm doing the topic. This is, by the way, the start of our writes inspired by sledding and sleigh riding, which is ironic because I actually don't have any snow this time of year. But I have to say what I love about this one is how she reminds us of what snow days used to be like. I mean, if you live in an area where there's snow, like back when I was a kid, there wasn't as many snow days, but when you had them, you really appreciated them. Because, you know, once the storm stopped, you had those nice layers of snow. You went outside and you played. Nowadays, they freaking have snow days, even if they think there's a possibility of snow coming. And then they expect you to make up the time by the end of the year, you know. I mean, it's just, sorry, no offense. But I know there's probably good reason, but it's not the same. But this is a wonderful, nostalgic write, taking a look at the time period when, you know, her husband and their children would enjoy, you know, no school in Chicago today. What an absolutely wonderful, relatable piece for many people. I really like Unmatched But Happy. I finally urged them outside to join their friends. We live close enough to the sledding hill to watch the action. Every child who should have been in school may have been here. I stayed inside waiting for them to get so red-cheeked that they would come back. Ah, yes. And there was an enthusiasm for sledding. I really thought this was beautiful and fun. and Kate.
Oh, that was just lovely. It really, really lovely. I remember my own joy at days like that. I remember my children's joy on days like that. And I particularly related to the children who had the energy of half slugs suddenly rallied, dancing. They were singing, chanting, laughing, twirling, and spinning. I mean, yes. I wonder, you know, really, we know school is necessary for our children. But has there ever been many children who enjoy school? I don't think so. I think the parents enjoy it a lot. But I don't know. Yeah, but I thought of it was so true.
I think they enjoy recess and lunch.
Yes, exactly.
And gym.
And gym, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, I hated school with a vengeance. I really hated it. I was always put in a class a year older than myself, because my schooling as a youngster had been in Malta in a different regime. I was always the youngest in the class. I hated it. I was so bullied. I was a little brown child with a funny accent in Scotland. Not a good thing to be. No. So this was absolutely beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. And the fact at the end, oh my goodness, this is so true to life. At the end where the husband says, what's been going on? What's happened, for goodness sake? And she says, well, he's normally away by the time they get up. So he doesn't know how bad it can be to get children organized in the morning. And I love that. We are usually looking for book bags. I mean, that simplifies the whole thing. We are usually looking for book bags. Beautifully done. Very clever. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Absolutely. And great comment, Kate. And Rex, your thoughts.
I remember those days, Katie. It sucks on the other end. You come and you're the only one speaking in a different accent. That also sucks, except I should have been put a grade ahead, but they kept me with the children my age. And I hated it because I already knew the stuff, so it made me lazy. I said, fuck it, more or
yep.
less. Anyway, this hits on that note to a lot of those sissified cities who closed because the damn teachers union has way too much power. I remember back in the day, we never closed in upstate New York. Buffalo rarely ever closed, and they were always steeped in acres of snow. And they never closed. So the idea of closing just because you got a little bit of snow on the streets is kind of ridiculous. Not to mention, there's a little bit of nostalgia in this because those days you actually went outside and enjoyed yourself. Today, they sit in and watch streaming or play video games all day and don't understand the idea of actually going outside and enjoying it. I remember going out. We used to sketch. I'd go sketching behind the buses. So that was a grand thought to the end of the school day as well.
What sketch? What does that mean?
Well,
what does that mean?
It's when you've got your snow boots on, which because otherwise you'd have wet feet, and you'd stand behind on the bumper of the school bus. So when the bus takes off, you're kind of using your feet as a snowboard, and you got this rooster tail of slush stretching out behind you. That's kitchen.
Wow. Wow.
I love it. So dangerous.
We didn't have the rules around it. So the best thing was doing that behind the bus. You got the best of both worlds.
Perfect. I love it.
It does sound like fun. I will say it sounds dangerous, but I can definitely say it sounds like fun, too. That was a great comment, Rex. I'm glad you shared that with us. And you're right. It definitely is not the same nowadays. Absolutely. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I experienced this twice. Once as a child, you know, when we're all around, like I said before, TV show. I'm advanced here. Another radio show where we'd be all around the radio in the morning and waiting for the announcement, and then woo-hoo, you know. But also as a teacher, the same thing, you know, waiting for that announcement and going, woo, day off of work. But I have to say, I was a goody-goody two-shoes, so I liked school, yeah. But, you know, yeah, I did appreciate, though, the you know, the snow days. And it's so true, Pam, what you were saying, you know, that I agree so much. You know, they announce a snowstorm. The snowstorm isn't even arrived, and the schools are already closed, and then there's no school that day, and then the next day there's a freaking big snowstorm and the schools are open, and you're going like, what the, you know? And it's really slipping. It's a snowstorm, and the schools are open because they had closed them the day before when there was supposed to be the snowstorm. And, you know, it's really, really messed up. But, yeah, I get that, you know, that it's too many school days off just because there's a supposedly snowstorm is going to come and it doesn't come. Yeah, this is great poetry storytelling and great right down to, like Katie said, you know, that last line where, you know, they're usually looking for their book bags or their school bags, you know, so that there's the frenzy is there too when they're getting prepared in the morning. Yeah, it can be just as frenetic as a snow day. So wonderful write by Pink Fairy 5.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
Fisher's Oar by Poetically Written. And that one's for Katie.
Ah, thank you so much. What a lovely picture. How sweet. Okay, so this is Fisher's Oar by Poetically Written. Welcome, reader. Climb aboard. Quick read today. Don't ignore. The place you've reached is Fisher's Oar. It's fish galore and so much more. It's time to play. It's 9 o'clock. The clocks have been placed to tick and tock. You'll hear the ticks from every heel, and tock will race atop the hill. We've come to play, so fire away. Don't forget to grab your sleigh. It's 10 o'clock. The time has flown. I wonder where the time has gone. We're sort of small, just look around. Not a better place to be found. I'm sliding in without a doubt. I thought I'd give the fish a shout. End poem.
Great read, Kate. And what a wonderful write. Absolutely beautiful and fun. And I like that. And Naomi, your thoughts?
This was really delightful as a write. And, you know, that was an amazing read. I have to say, Weaver, you know, you read that just, you know, that kept up the pace, the fast pace of the write all through and really, you know, went with it. And, yeah, I loved the fast pace of it, you know, and it really... you know, brought out all the meaning of the poem, the delightfulness, the whimsicalness of it, and you know, just the playfulness of it. We've come to play, so fire away. Don't forget to grab your sleigh. It's 10 o'clock. The time has flown. I wonder where the time has gone. And, you know, it's just like, you know, a winter day when you're sliding and having fun, and time is passing so quickly that you don't even see it, you know, go by. You're so, you know, involved in playing in the snow. And, you know, I wish, you know, the young people today, I just wish, you know, like Blog Talk Radio, all the cell phones on the planet Earth would just go off or something, and they'd be forced to go out and play in the snow again, just to experience what we used to the fun that we used to have, you know. I wish that would really happen. All the TVs would go off and everything would go off, you know, just for a short while so that they'd have to find something else to do. I really wish that would happen. But wonderful, wonderful right here by Poetically Written, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a different time for sure. So great comment. And Rex, I heard that chuckle. So what are your thoughts?
Well, two. It's a filler verse for a Norman Rockwell print, which worked out perfectly for the picture itself. But it also hits on the idea of a porcelain village, which you can add your own storytelling to it, which works on that level too, because you get all the little pieces that go with it, the trees, the fences, the kids, the sleds, even the animals with the porcelain village. So I like it on both levels for that, for the Norman Rockwell as well as the a porcelain village theme.
Yeah, it does kind of have a nice Norman Rockwell vibe to it for sure. And Kate, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. I really enjoyed this. You can tell when I get into, or anybody gets into reading a piece of poetry, you can sometimes err a little bit at the beginning. It sounds as though it might be jolly and funny, and then suddenly you get into a deeper place. So it's difficult sometimes to judge, you know, how you should be reading it. And I don't read them beforehand. Naughty girl, I know, but I do love the challenge and the excitement that brings me. So this, I thought, it was just beautiful. I just, a little bit inside my poetic heart went boom. Just beautifully done. Oh, my goodness. The pace of it, the beauty of the rhyme, the timing. I liked it so much. So, yes, I think this was beautifully done. And I'm so glad you shared it with us because it was fun. So thank you, Poetically Written.
Absolutely. Great comment, Kate. Yeah, I did enjoy the pace of this also, between the rhyme and the flow and the way he just moved things, he just moved things along. You know, it did have that nice pace as if you were sliding down the poem itself. I really like, it's time to play, it's 9 o'clock, the clock's been placed to tick and talk. You'll hear the ticks from every heel. A tack will race atop the hill. You know, that whole idea of just being in a hurry to get outside, to enjoy the sledding activities. And we're sort of small, just look around, not a better place is to be found. I'm sliding in without a doubt. I thought I'd give the fish a shout. And there is definitely a humor to that ending. Also a little scary, too, the idea of sliding into the water. You know, that's all cold and frozen. But I did like how it had a sense of humor to it with, I thought I'd give the fish a shout. And, oh, goodness gracious. But, yeah, it's really quite great fun and a wonderful spirited write. Very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Sledding Down the Hill by Teresa Streschenkopf. That was yours.
Oh, what fun it was sledding down the hills, taking turns with my brothers, riding back and forth. We will get us all settled on the sled before we go. 1, 2, 3, we would say, then on go, we would slide away. Round after round, round after round, we would go, sledding down the big snowy hill and climbing back up it. That was the only part I did not like. We would be dressed in our snowsuits, and of course we had our gloves, wearing a hat that covered our ears and a double pair of socks. Ride after ride and climbing back up for hours we would play until Mom yelled out the door that it was no longer time to play. End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, I really like this, you know, especially the 1, 2, 3. I remember that so well. 1, 2, 3, okay, go. And, you know, and then the climbing up, the climbing back up part, oh, my gracious, you know. Oh, that was, but, you know, we were so invested in playing that, you know, it wasn't that bad, but, you know, just and wearing a hat that covered our ears and a double pair of socks, I remember that, and, you know, I didn't have the gloves, but the mittens and, that stuck to you because they were, you know, they were wool mittens that my mother would have made, you know, and they weren't waterproof back then. So everything would get icy and cold and slushy and they'd stick to you. And you were freezing, but you were freezing, but you were cold but you were playing, so you didn't mind. And the cold feet, the frozen feet, oh my gracious, you know, I remember that, the feet unfreezing when you'd get back home. And you just bawl your eyes out because your toes were on freezing there. But, this brings back so many memories. It's so well done. And bravo, Teresa. You're just wonderful piece put together here.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And, yeah, my mom and my grandmother both knitted and crocheted, so... I remember those same exact kind of mittens. I know exactly what you're talking about. So, great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, I love the fact that we're being allowed to go back into our memories with all these beautiful poems. It's just lovely to go back to when you were a child and what you could expect and what you would accept as a child that you probably wouldn't be able to do now. I can never, ever live down the embarrassment of the gloves with the elastic attached to them that my mother would put on. I hated it. So embarrassing. You walk in about with your gloves dangling as if you're too moronic to actually put them on your hands. Oh, man, that woman. You scarred me for life.
Yeah.
But lovely. I really enjoyed this reminiscence. I really enjoyed it. And the double pair of socks. Perfect. So, yes. Thank you for sharing with us, Teresa. Wonderfully done.
Absolutely. That was a great comment there, Kate, because, I get it. Wonderful comment. And, Rex, your thoughts?
The gloves with the plastic or the sewn to the sleeves? Yeah, that was because she didn't trust you. You kept losing the damn thing. And she kept making more and more.
Oh, yeah.
But, hell, we never had snowsuits. Damn. It was jeans and jackets. And if they got wet and you stayed out, hey, it was because you enjoyed the cold. We didn't go back in until, we'd go out early in the morning. We'd stay out till noon, come back for grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup, and then go right back out again until nightfall. And, hey, mothers loved it back then because they had some peace and quiet in the house. The cleanup was easy, and they had to rest, too, while we were out gallivanting. So, that note to the back end, until Mom yelled out the door, it was no longer time to play. That's one day when the kids died to go outside instead of being cooped up in a bloody house all day long.
Yep, that is so true. That is so true. Wonderful comment, Rex. And, yeah, you know what, I have to say part of the reason I did choose the theme and the prompts of, you know, sledding and sleigh rides is because I thought we would get a lot of fun and nostalgic writes and comments. And I have to say I'm really enjoying the poetry and the comments tonight because it is taking us along that path of looking at the way that winter used to be and the fun that you could have with it. I really, really like, where she says, we will get us all settled on the sled before we go. One, two, three, we would say. Then on go, we would slide away. Wonderful lines and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
Here, kitty, kitty. My Rooster Cogburn. Has anyone seen me, pet cat? Been looking everywhere. She's playing tricks again, vanished into thin air. Only this morning, together, sledding on snow so white. But now that rascal's disappeared right out of sight. Kitty's always up for laughs. Hey, we had such fun. Sleighing down hills faster than a reindeer can run. She sits atop my lap, cool as a snowman next to flames, while I steer like Santa guides Rudolph with reins. Our final sleigh ride, dramatic, like a crab on roller skates, weaving between holly and ivy trees. Oops, too late. We collided with a prickly bush, camouflage quite discreet. I got jagged in butt. Kitty naturally landed on her feet. While extracting thorns from nether region, she hightailed. Been looking ever since. To date, my search has failed. Knocked on me neighbor's door, local spot for rendezvous, as it's her bestie, Tomcat's home. Yet no hint, no clue. Sledding just won't be the same if Kitty remains elusive. So as it's almost Christmas, hope Santa is conclusive. Gotta send a note asking to find me cat white on black. Meanwhile, I'll keep looking. Bet right now she's relaxing, laughing behind my back. And boom.
Great read there, Rex. And what an absolutely delightful write by Rooster Cogburn, who wrote to a picture of a young kid pulling a sled, and on the sled is sitting a kitty cat. Your thoughts?
Oh, very cute. How cute is this? Rooster Cogburn, huh? I like it. I like it a lot. I love the picture that you've written too. And I can imagine cats don't need us. We're just we're a convenience when they might need a little bit of water and some food. But otherwise, you know, leave me alone. Don't be sticking me on the sledge. I look like an idiot. Everybody else is going to be talking about me now. Yeah, I love that. You don't do that with a cat. Cat will not enjoy it. So that cat decided, my mates are not going to be laughing at me. I'm off. Yeah, I thought it was very good. I really enjoyed it. Knocking on the neighbor's door. Yeah, local spot for a rendezvous. Hello. Oh, wow. So cool. Yes. Well done, Rooster. I loved it. Thank you so much for making me laugh.
Absolutely. It's always great to have a sense of humor. Yeah, you're right, Kate. You know, the cats have a very independent spirit, and almost like a proud spirit. I mean, there are exceptions, but a lot of times that is the attitude that comes across with cats. So great comment there. And Kate, your thoughts?
I think I just commented, perhaps.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. You did. I just accidentally, like, I was picturing Naomi in my head, but I was My brain and my mouth were not connecting.
you've been drinking what I've been drinking, I think. Cool. Good girl.
Naomi, your thoughts?
Really enjoyed this, and I really enjoyed listening to Katie commenting, you know, about cats, and it's so true, you know. I can just imagine my cat, my gracious, she'd probably, you know, jump on the back of the person on the sleigh, all claws out and just hanging on for dear life there. But, you know, I really like the stanza, our sleigh, our final sleigh ride, dramatic, like a crab on roller skates. I really like that line, like a crab on roller skates, weaving between holly and ivy trees. Oops, too late. We collided with a prickly bush, camouflage quite discreet. I got jagged in butt. Kitty naturally landed on her feet. And, you know, just the whole playfulness of the whole ride, just so well done in Rooster style. And, yeah, just bravo. This is an amazing ride, and thank you, Rooster, for the laugh.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Rex, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I come across a lot of Cat and Snow clips on YouTube recently. One of them, that, which is outstanding on there, is Luna the Panda, a Russian couple owner, a full-grown panda. They raised it as a baby. But this thing has a blast out in the snow. And it's a huge cat. It's got to be at least from tail to nose, about 7 feet long. And then there's a couple other ones. I saw this one cat go out, run in the snow, and come running back in. But there was this one that walked along the snow fence, along a fence line, and then decided to jump into the snow and disappeared 2 feet down. And the owner had to take the damn thing out. Because it was buried.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah, you see it all kinds. Those are so fun to watch because there are animals that love to play in the snow, and including cats, and there are other ones that want nothing to do with that. I saw a video myself where this cat just absolutely loved snow, but kept getting in his owner's way. Like the guy was shoveling, and the cat would just come sit right in front of, lay down right in front of the shovel. So the guy would scoop the cat up with the shovel and gently toss it in the snow. And instead of just going off, the cat kept coming back to be scooped up and tossed into the snow. but yeah, that was a great comment there, Rex. I did like the humor in this. It had a really nice flow to it, wonderful imagery. That ending where the cat decided that he didn't want his friends, laughing behind his back was just fabulous. I also like where he says, "Kitty's always up for laughs. Hey, we had such fun playing down hills faster than reindeer can run. She sits atop my lap, cool as a snowman next to flames, while I steer like Santa guides Rudolph with reins." And cool as a snowman next to flames, I love the irony in that line and the idea that, yeah, maybe, you know, kitty cat's not enjoying this as much as you think. But wonderful lines and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Sleigh Ride, Deloitte by Naomi.
Okay, Rex. So this is Sleigh Ride, Deloitte. I'm just teasing you. Okay, Sleigh Ride, Deloitte. We cuddle together tight in a sleigh ride with delight. Dancing and jingling bells, playing a cheerful melody that sears the wintry night. Frosty air embraces as cheeks turn rosy red, as fresh fallen snow blankets the earth in pure white, whispering tales of wonder under the pale moonlight. Fir trees and silvery pines, majestically they stand, a tapestry so mighty and divine, created masterfully by nature's hand. Forest birds caroling with voices sweet and clear, unveiling their melodies for all the world to hear. As our horse-drawn carriage glides with elegance and grace through the winter wonderland in a gentle, steady pace. In woolen hats and scarves, mittens warm and snug, a cozy blanket shared to shield from winter's might, enveloped in its warmth, our hearts with joy ignite. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Naomi. I'm glad you were inspired, and I love the romanticism that you brought into this. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, it brings back a time. I doubt they do it anymore because New York City's a hellscape at the moment. But there used to be a time in New York where you could actually, they'd have these sleigh rides around Central Park. You could, and they'd be specific right around Christmas, especially with the snow on the ground. And you take that, you get in the back, it's open air, you've got a driver, a horse, and you got the blanket in the back as you sit and take that nice little romantic stroll around the park, so to speak. And it also hits on the idea of out in the country, you'd have this. This would be your travel from house to house or from house to town. Just that cheerful note of taking in the cool air and the warm blanket and going into town for a Christmas day or going over to friends to celebrate. So, and I think that you still get this in the Amish towns. They'll do this type of thing as well.
Yes.
Days gone by. You don't get this anymore because, hell, it's too bloody dangerous to actually enjoy this. You'll get mugged. They'll even mug the horses.
Well, we still have it here. We still have it here a lot in Quebec, though. Sleigh rides.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, we still have it here a lot. Yeah.
You got the sleighs with the runners on them?
Yeah, in the winter time, and they go across the country, and we still have them.
That is really
not
nice,
everywhere, but you know, some places.
Yeah, it depends. Because if you haven't got the snow on the ground, my guess is that they'd offer up wagons a little lower to the ground, maybe. But you still get that kind of feel of the wintry air and the warm blanket, and hey, taking nice jaunts in a kind of a sled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so romantic. It's so fun. We really enjoy that, you know, in the winter time. Right now we can't because hey, we don't have any snow. But it's a fun part of the winter sleigh rides here.
Absolutely. That is so true. And the sleigh rides and during summer or more like autumn, I would say, you get the hay rides the autumn season. I mean, it's all just great fun. So, wonderful comment there, Rex. And
yeah, they used to be big because I think it's Roosevelt Center in New York where they've got the big ice skating rink and the Christmas tree set up. You get the roll of the sleighs around there too, and it's kind of funny because for about 3 or 4 years they'd used the wrong pipes and they actually broke, and they spent a few $1 million trying to fix it and never got it right. And the funny thing is they asked a singular person if they could do it, and he said yes, and he said I can do it for this. And I can do it in a few months' time. And he actually did both. He brought it in under budget, and he did as he was promised. And he used a salt water mixture to help freeze because he thought of hockey rinks and how they got them to keep frozen, even with a building full of 20,000 people.
Oh, wow. That's actually interesting to learn. I think that would that really is a nostalgic time. I like that you brought up those sleigh rides in New York City. Obviously something I never experienced, but it just looks like it would just be like beautiful, and you know, but we definitely don't live in those same times. But very cool.
Hello, Olivia. Nice to see you on the board.
Oh, who do we have on the board? Oh, Olivier.
Yeah,
who asks, how do you guys stay up this late? Well, let me tell you, Olivier, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it's caffeine and willpower. And I'm sure for most of us, it's caffeine and willpower. And to see you. Yeah. Exactly. And Kate, your thoughts on Naomi's poem?
I thought it was lovely. I really enjoyed this so much. I love things that bring back memories. We don't have the seasonal connection to our world that we used to have. That's for sure. You know, I mean, the thought of a cold, crisp winter's evening, cuddled up on a sleigh with the person that you love, and then getting pulled along by a big, magnificent horse or whatever, maybe one of reindeer Santa's, who knows. But beautifully done, and I really enjoyed it. I have never had the chance to go on a sleigh with a horsey-posy-posy. So I will, at one point in my life before I pop my clogs, I will definitely have to. It's on my bucket list, let's put it that way. And I probably need the bucket as well. But anyway, beautifully done. My mind, I've gotten off my mind.
I love
so sorry.
That. I like that. And I think that's a wonderful thing to have on your bucket list. But, yeah, I really, really thought this was wonderful, Naomi. The rhyme, the imagery, the romance that's within it. You really paint a beautiful picture. Frosty air embraces as cheeks turn rosy red, as fresh fallen snow blankets the earth in pure whites, whispering tales of wonder under the pale moonlight. And I also really like where you say, as our horse-drawn carriage glides with elegance and grace through the winter wonderland in a gentle, steady pace. Oh, those are such beautiful lines and very well done. And did you want to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
Oh, no. I just, I'm just going to say good night to everybody because I'm going to go to bed now. And so just thank you for having me, and thank you. This has been, two shows back to back that I've really, really appreciated and had fun, and so thank you so, so much.
Well,
and good night, everybody.
Good night, darling.
Good night.
Good night,
and thank you for calling in. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the snow, in the lane, snow is glistening. A bright light in the night, and Kate is in sight. And it's your time to ring, now sing.
Oh, no, man. We're going to bring the whole thing down. Oh, we were going on so well. And now you've, okay. What on earth have I written? Please tell me. I have no idea.
Other than a poem? I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. Allow me to, I'm not able to find it, but just give me a moment. I'm sure. No, I still don't have it. Oh, my goodness. Let's try something else.
I think it got buried by some conversation.
It might be further up. Oh, I've got it. Thank you. Well done. Thank you, Pam. You know the way this world works. I love it. Okay, that's not what I wanted. Why am I there? Just bear with me. No, I can't find it. Okay. Very odd. It seems to have disappeared. But what I'll do is I'll get it this way. See, nothing in my life is ever easy. Nothing in my life is normal. No, I can't find it. Could you put it back up again for me, please? That might make it easier.
I did. You might just need to refresh your page.
I have done that a couple of times. I'll do it again.
Okay.
Oh, I've got it. Oh. I've got it. Yay.
Okay.
Oh, dear. Got it. Thank you so much. Okay. And this is a bit of whimsy, so bear with me. I'm never serious enough. So this is a bright light. From elf to elf, the rumor spread that Santa's sleigh may not be led by Rudolph's with his nose so red. What gossip is this that fills the forest air, as within their cozy homes the elves convene to ponder mysteries veiled behind the scene? Though each one treats the tale with scorn, in every heart a seed of doubt is sown, for Rudolph's radiance has always shone. Then comes the news that Rudolph has retired, that leaves hope flickering like a tiny flame. Can Santa's Christmas magic stay the same? Suddenly Rudolph's son steps up to prove to all that though one red nose may fade from sight, the enchantment of Christmas still shines bright. End poem.
Oh, I like that, Kate. Absolutely, absolutely creative and delightful. And Rex, your thoughts?
Bugger those naughty elves for spreading such ill-conceived rumors. Naughty little bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Serves them right. And hey, you know what? Since, well, he did retire. Rudolph's gone, but you've got Junior stepping up to the front. So, all right, elves, get your arse in gear. This ain't no time to slack off because we're out to spread Christmas cheer.
Absolutely. Oh, great comment, Rex. Yeah, this is wonderful, Kate. And I'm so glad that you were inspired. And I like that you brought in some humor with this, with what gossip is this that fills the forest air, as within their cozy homes the elves convene to ponder mysteries veiled behind the scene. Yeah, it would appear that those elves very much enjoy their gossip. But I like that there's also that message of family standing together, you know, and you use famous characters like Rudolph, and then you bring in Rudolph's son, and with those end lines, suddenly Rudolph's son steps up to prove to all that though one red nose may fade from sight, the enchantment of Christmas still shines bright. Mm-hmm. And I love that because, you know, while this has a sense of humor and a kind of a whimsicalness to it, it also has an important message of, you know, standing together and allowing our life that, you know, connect to, you know, make Christmas time even brighter. So wonderful, wonderful, right, and very well done. Was there anything that you wanted to say about your poem?
Like everybody else says, no, not really. I just enjoyed writing it. It's as simple as that. I have a kind of brain that doesn't quite catch things like other people do. But I just thought this side of it was quite funny. You know, what if the light was going out? So, yeah, that was all. Just a bit of fun.
Very cool. Very cool. I like it. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
Sledding Saga or Turnabout is Fair Play by Miriam Kilman. I think that was a SoundCloud additive, yes.
Yes, it does. So let me find that, and here we go.
Sledding Saga, or Turnabout is Fair Play. I am sledding downhill. I'm propelled by slick ice on packed snow. I remember as clearly as though it were decades ago. Those days I recall with astonishing, vibrant detail, while the things I experienced yesterday falter and fail. At first, I was simply too little to handle a sled by myself, so a teenager lay down as flat as a bed, providing a warm, dry chauffeur, so I clung to her coat while she steered between bulges and furrows, appearing to float. What comes down must go up. To the top of the hill we must go, avoiding the child-burdened sleds as they barrel below. In my memory picture, the children wore mittens and scarves in the snow by the road, like a bevy of floundering dwarves. I was likewise engulfed in my second-hand layers of wool. As the grown-up kids trudged, I was riding, too little to pull. When we rose in the morning, we shook with a consummate thrill. Closed for sledding signs stood at the top and the base of the hill. Then the big guys went back in the house, while we little ones waited, our pupils dilated, our freezing cold breathing abated. With whooping and shouting, the tall kids came, each with a sled made of golden wood slats with steel runners and trim painted red. My turn came at last to be one of those bearing a sled. Then I flew down the hill on my own, overcoming my dread. My uncertainty vanished as steering became unrehearsed. Little Jonathan rode on my back as we hurtled head first. By Miriam Kilmer.
Great read and write, Miriam. What a treat to get a SoundCloud from you. Thank you very much. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, it was so lovely to hear you reading your poem. I really enjoyed that. Done so very well. And yes, I can remember all of those things, especially the older kids getting away with murder as usual. But yes, being small, it does limit you, doesn't it? Yeah, it does limit everything you do, doesn't it? I mean, I'm only 4'10", so I'm like the world's tallest dwarf. So I kind of understand what it's like to be on the short side. Lovely, and the way you read it with such aplomb was wonderful. And you actually managed to go on the sledge on your own. Very, very brave. I love it. I love the nostalgia of it. I love anything that looks back on a time that was sweeter and kinder, and perhaps by hindsight, I don't know. But it seemed a nicer place to live in. So, yeah, lovely. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, I like the, I should put it down, anapestic pentameter, the da-da-dum, da-da-dum, because it hits really well. When we rose in the morning, we shook. And so that idea, that da-da-dum, that third notation to a little bit more emphasis, I am sledding downhill, I'm propelled. So I like that note to the how it walked itself along, and it does hit on. I like that note to the dwarfs being the small kids, and she does hit on that note of being too little to pull a sled and climb. She got to ride, and then all of a sudden, on the back end, she's that bed for the smaller person instead of the teenager that she was used to having as the bed on the sled. So I also. It does bring back that note to different times. I mean, the sled we had back then with the steering on the column, you got to pay attention to that. You can use it. We did it face first, laying down, or you could do it with the idea of you hold on to the rope and you steered it with your feet. But, yes, yeah, that did make for some good accidents. And then came out the shield sleds, the round flying saucer ones. A plastic one.
Yes.
Boy, did they dip across the snow.
Oh, yes. Those were quite fun. And, yeah, I mean, exactly. And a wonderful comment there, Rex. I do love the memories that this brings back with the fun of sledding. And I really like the meter in this. I'm always envious of people who can write in this kind of, like, spot-on, perfect meter. I do like how she takes us through a journey from her being, as you were mentioning, Rex, the little one who needed help, to her being the older child who then helped the little ones. I really like this all the way through, but especially when we rose in the morning, we shook with a consummate thrill, closed for sledding, signs stood at the top and the base of the hill. You know, and all the way through, just wonderful lines. And I like that she brings in also the description of the sled, each with a sled made of golden wood slate with steel runners and trim painted plates. That just brings out such beautiful nostalgic imagery. Wonderful, right, and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Here we go. A Lover's Trip. By Daniel Duhane. That one's yours.
All right. With the night closing in upon a blanket of stars, horses were brought out and harnessed to a cutter with a leather brown seat with buttons. The lead horse was chestnut brown in color, adorned with sleigh bells. A warm rock from the fire brought out and placed on the floor of the sleigh to keep the feet warm from the winter chill. Then a bearskin rug was laid across the seat as two forlorn lovers bundled up inside, hugging each other for warmth. And with the grab of the reins, the horse trotted through the snow while glistening snow fell from the sky as if they were in a real-life snow globe. While moving along, a love ballad was sung, and two eyes that glistened with Christmas love met each other in a moment of enchanted rapture. Time passed until they reached a frozen lake together, where they strapped on skates to their boots and glided together across the ice under the watchful eyes of the moon. End poem. And what a beautiful romantic rite. And your thoughts, Rex?
Naomi, you left me soon. You'd like this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Daniel went in full blown with the proper description. You got the nice chestnut brown lead horse, the sleigh bells adorned. The warm rock was another nice touch of on the floorboard to actually offer up that little bit of heat from below. Plus the bearskin rug is another touch of that era. And then it goes full blown, offering up the stopping at the frozen lake where they strap on skates and go skating. So you get the full ideal moment. Plus it does offer that touch of rolling around New York City back in the day too, even though this is more of a singular note.
Absolutely. And you're right, his attention to detail does bring us into another era. So great observation. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yeah, nostalgia. The wonderful thing. It brings a warmth that I really enjoy. And as you say, the details. A warm rock from the fire was brought out and placed on the floor of the sleigh to keep the feet warm from the winter chill. Then a bearskin rug was laid across the seat. And that, you know, it's just a different idea of what intimacy can be. Yeah, we are, you know, we're not able to enjoy the seasons as we used to when we were younger. It's just a different thing now. We have our central heating and everything is warm and cozy, and you forget what's going on outside. But to be two people that close together, out to have a wonderful evening, and to start that with this particular sleigh ride. Lovely. I really enjoyed it. It was beautifully written.
It was. It is. And a great comment there, Kate. Yeah, I did love his attention to details and the romance in this. I really liked a warm rock from the fire was brought out and placed on the floor of the sleigh to keep the feet warm from the winter chill. Another part I really liked was the line where he says, while glistening snow fell from the sky as if they were in a real life snow globe. I thought as if they were in a real life snow globe was a perfect line to paint the picture for you to better imagine it. So wonderful, right? And very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Christmas Tradition by Scott Sharp. Times are tough and times will tell of city streets and jingle bells that ring upon these times romance amidst the distant calls of God's expanse. A carolous drive up whistless pass, singing songs until we arrive at last, a mountain top of fun and dreams, snowfall and rising screams. Untie the sleds, toboggans and the tubes, sunlit snow limbs and winter views. Atop the hill of these mountain heights, we race the wind to the cabin lights. It's here we find our Christmas cheer amongst the aspen year after year. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. And what an absolutely wonderful write by Scott Sharp. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. When I see a title like Christmas Tradition, It warmed the cockles of my old heart. I think it's wonderful, the traditions that people build around things that, you know, mean to them. And it's nice, it really is. There's no such thing as repetition when it comes to an enjoyable thing like that. You know, this drive along, singing songs. But there we have a mountain top of fun and dreams, snowfall and rising screams. Now, that took me aback a little bit because I'm thinking, hello, what are they doing that make people scream? But it's probably going down a very high mountain, I imagine, possibly. Yeah, I thought it was lovely. I really did. I enjoyed it a lot. My mother has a weird New Year tradition. We're talking about traditions. When the bells have rung, she opens the window. And I said to her, you know, you're letting the heat out, Mum. What are you doing? And she said, it's to let the old year out and the new year in. And I thought that was just, so that's a tradition that I keep up now. And everybody looks at me as if I'm mad. But yeah, I love traditions and this is perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
So thank you.
Absolutely, yep. And I love learning about people's different traditions. I have heard that one before. So very cool, very cool. Great comment. And Rex, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
The screams and the hollers, that's a note to Days of Yore, because when you're kids, you're always out screaming, hollering, having a hoot going down the hill, screaming in sheer delight. that's what that was about. And the sort of tradition going back year after year and playing out that scene does hold in that note of reliving those easy days, even just for a little while.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I remember those days when sledding or running around or, you know, whatever it was you were doing, you know, you oftentimes had those screams of delight, especially when playing outside. So great comment, Rex. But I really like untie the sleds, toboggans, and the tubes, sunlit snowy limbs and winter views atop the hill of those mountain heights. We race the wind to the cabin light. Wonderful lines there. Really such a delightful, nostalgic write and very well done. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
We have, where'd it go? We have, oh, damn, I lost it. Ah, yes. Christmas Day Sleigh Ride by Wayne Gent. And I think this one's going to be for you, Kate.
Oh, good-o. Thank you so much.
Putting it at the second point. There you go.
So, Christmas Day Sleigh Ride, is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, cool. A lovely picture. Okay, here we go. Serious face on. Get bundled up to take a Christmas sleigh ride. Going to be fun, but will be frigid outside. Leave early, attend church on Christmas Day. After sermon is over, be time to jump in sleigh. Our neighbor Bob will be handling the team. Been sled driver for 10 years, it would seem. His two white mares know how to slowly pull. We just have to kick back, act like we're cool. The streets are covered with a thick sheet of ice that will make ride seem like it is twice as nice. Men will be wearing their top hats to display, ladies with bonnets to say cozy all the way. My wife will lead singing the old-time hymns. It will be my job to watch out for snow-covered limbs. With a soft giddy up, away the sleigh will go, over the bridge and through the snow. Our ride will come to an end over at Bob's place. By then we'll have a bright red cold face. Go into his house to have hot chocolate to taste. Before we drink, we'll make time for grace. End poem.
Great read there, Kate, and what a wonderful write by Wayne. And Rex, your thoughts?
Okay, see the picture there? That's what you would normally find. But that's a larger sleigh with two horses. Normally you get a single as it rolls for a couple, so to speak. But that's a larger sleigh. And yes, the top hats were usually a pointed note to the guy who led the sled to begin with. So I like that. this was also detailed to the point where this is a traditional note as well, because he hits on the idea of going to church, singing hymns, and then that also heading out over to Bob's place for hot chocolate right after everything is said and done. And then, again, before we drink, we'll make time for grace. So you double dip onto the idea of the cheer, not just for the Christmas Day celebration of the sleigh ride, but the church, and then the time for saying grace as well before you warm yourselves up, because it does get a mite blustery in an open-toed sleigh.
Absolutely, yes. And I like that you brought that up. That's not just about the fun and the celebrating, but also the taking time to go to church together, and, you know, just, you know, spend time together and really appreciate the season. So, wonderful comment. And Kate, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Yes, it was so well written that it was a pleasure to read. I like that. It just flowed beautifully. And I love, again, see, we have this wonderful sentiment. We're harking back to days when things were different, when things were perhaps slower. I mean, can you imagine having to go out and basically take a sleigh or a carriage and a horse to get you where you want to go? Everything has got to be written down and posted off to people. And I mean, we live in such a frenetic society. You know, I don't think we understand the passage of time as they did then. There was time to do those things that, you know, your wife would lead the singing and you watched out to make sure nobody got hit by the snow-covered limbs. Brilliant job. I loved it. I just love all the sentiment. I'm a sentimental old fool, but I do love it. And if it was in real life, it would be so cool. But I can enjoy the memories. So I thought very well written, beautifully paced, and well done. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I really like how Wayne takes us back in time. You know, this is a wonderful poem. It does another one that has a nostalgic feel to it, takes us back to a different time. I really like his attention to detail. The streets are covered with a thick sheet of ice that will make Rye feel like it's twice as nice. Men will be wearing their top hats to display, ladies with bonnets to stay cozy all the way. And bringing in specifically, you know, the top hats and the bonnets really connected with the picture. You know, and the singing of hymns, which is just part of the joy of the season, wonderful lines and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Cozy Sleigh Ride by Betty Page. That one's yours.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Pretty deep blue skies, moonlit evening's paradise, sledding across ice, sparkling wine for two, singing beneath sweet starlight, stargazing in eyes, evergreen forests, colorful bright strings of light, magical archways, cruising in our sleigh in winter wonderland's fair, red boughs and holly, golden enchantment, carolers sing, ringing bells, Christmas time is here, festival of lights, whizzing down candy cane lane, kissing neath moonlight, cozy sleigh ride ends. Cone and sweetie make amends. Let's be more than friends. Pretty deep blue skies, moonlit evening's paradise, sledding across ice, sparkling wine for two, singing beneath sweet starlight, stargazing in eyes. End poem. Oh, that is just absolutely beautiful. And Kate, your thoughts?
It says it all in the title, doesn't it? Cozy Sleigh Ride. Lovely. And we have, again, so much love and passion and remembrance in this. We're all harking back to what was and what used to be, which is wonderful. But, you know, we need to now build memories for the future for ourselves as well. We need these kind of memories. Looking back to 2023 and thinking, that was a good year. Was that a good year? We don't remember. It goes, isn't it? Time just vanishes. And I love the fact that we're now able to look at things like this and think how sweet everything used to be. Festival of Lights, rinsing down Candy Cane Lane, kissing neath moonlight. All just beautiful. And I like the way it flowed as well. Very well done. Thank you, Betty. Another beautiful piece of poetry. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely wonderful comment. And your thoughts, Rex?
A couple of things. She hit on, Festival Lights. That's a note to Disney's Christmas director, their big Festival of Lights. She got Winter's Wonderland Fair and that Candy Cane Lane. That's actually a Christmas movie out now with Eddie Murphy. So she's got a little bit of that.
I
haven't. But I'm thinking more along the other line of what this is, just thought with the Festival of Lights. This hits on and the Candy Cane Lane. This hits on to a more of a small village atmosphere, cruising in our sleigh in Winter Wonderland Fair. The idea of the whole town, or the it would be a small town. So you go down to the main street, you got the Christmas tree, you've got the lights strung up between the street lights. So you got that, and you've got the sleigh that would take you on a nice round around city, the small city town center. The thought of Main Street not being very big, but everything is lit up, everything is decorated, and it's got that magical sort of and feel of a winter wonderland, because you still got that small town feel to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That is so true. Yep. And I like that comment, and I really like this poem. It's beautiful, wonderful 575 lines, lovely imagery. I really like evergreen forests, colorful, bright strings of light, magical archways. The painting, you know, her word painting is just stunning in this, how she takes us along on a celebration of the beauty of the winter season. Oh, excellent, right, and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
They Stand by Grant G. They stand, faces in glee, Christmas Eve snows on tree. We Tommy laughs like hell as we brothers' farts do smell. The other kids all wake up, running to windows, some check Santa's cup. From all over these children lived, waiting on adoption in an authoritative sieve. Age, creed, what they're like, eye and hair color, fair and blue seem to spike. 6 a.m. matron appears. They all shout at once, Merry Christmas, Mary dear. Santa's been all pressy's hair. Matron, matron, can we play in the snow? She answers real quick, sledding will go. They all grab their clothes, jumping up and down, except wee Tommy, he's wearing a frown. What's the matter, Tommy? Her best Irish voice. I thought you'd go crazy like rest of the boys. I'm happy now, Mason. It's a weird way to feel. Christmas snow now, sledding for real. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. Oh, this is an absolutely wonderful rhyming poem. I got a big kick out of Wee Tommy laughs like hell, his wee brother's farts do smell. Like, you can just imagine that. You know, two young boys just getting the biggest kick out of each other's farts. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, it's not very Christmassy, but I think it's just so honest of you know, of young boys. And I like, you know, matron, matron, can we play in the snow? She answers real quick, sledding will go. They all grab their clothes, jumping up and down, except wee Tommy, he's wearing a frown. And then, you know, that whole thought of, you know, like looking at, you know, the happiness of the moment rather than what you're supposed to be looking forward to. I know, just really wonderful, right, and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
It is wonderful the way children are so resilient. I don't know where they get it from or how, but it's a wonderful thing. We have children here who are waiting to be adopted, for goodness sake. And if you haven't got fair hair and blue eyes, you're out the window. So sad. But still,
aww,
you know, still
yeah,
they have the beauty of Christmas and the fact that they can go out and play. And so they hold on to that, and it carries them through to the next high, and they ignore the lows. And I think that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be a child. And I think every child should be allowed to have an innocence that, you know, it'll never happen again. You'll never be that innocent or that trusting. And I think it's just great. It just allows children to be children. So beautifully done.
That is so true. And children do need that time. But unfortunately, and I'm glad you brought that up, Kate, nowadays and, you know, even throughout history, not all children have been able to be given that opportunity, you know, especially when they're waiting to be adopted. So wonderful comment. And your thoughts, Rex?
Yeah, this does paint a different picture for an adoption center, or, well, not center, this is more like a house, something old, something 40, 50, 60 years ago that you'd find, as opposed to how things are handled today. This is old time. Yeah, but I did like that, the back end of it. I'm happy now, Mason. It's a weird way to feel. Christmas, no, now, sledding for real. Let's go finish. He's happy to stand there and kind of glow in the moment instead of rushing out with the rest of the kids.
Yeah, I like that, you know, that glow in the moment. So, great comment there. And what do we got next, Rex?
One Last Christmas by Gary Rubin, and you've got a SoundCloud.
Yes, we do. So here we go. Let me find that. And
One Last Christmas by Gary Rubin. Autumn's blustery winds strip the trees bare. Naked, they huddle together for warmth. Roots bind this community together. Neighbors that look after and care for one another. An elderly gray squirrel, arthritically hobbled, no longer able to bound from trees limb to limb. His thinning cable-knit sweater was tattered threadbare. The trees worried he'd not survive to see another Christmas. Wisdom comes with a century of life. So does added ring girth around the tree's trunk. A big red pine tree gradually and proudly puffed out his chest. Undetected, he leaned into my garden shed. Anticipating Mr. Squirrel's needs for assisted living, Red pushed through the shed siding to nudge open a brand new tiny back door. I discovered our geriatric aged interloper squirrel. Humanity demanded that I leave him be. Joyously, he gathered and stored walnuts and acorns. Proudly, he displayed a welcome mat and wreath at his new home entrance. A bed was fashioned from pine needles and a pillow from dried shore grass. Winterberry red holly streamers were hung from the rafters. As the snow gently fell Christmas Eve, Red and his tree friends hung carols in the whistling wind. Mr. Squirrel slept peacefully and woke up Christmas morning. He peeked down a knotted window hole. Sunshine caused some snowflakes to sparkle like diamonds. Cardinals danced the nutcracker in the glittering light. Young squirrels pond skated and sledded downhill onto thick silver ice. The children squealed with delight, and it brought a smile to his wrinkled face. His last days grew wintertime short. He peacefully died in his garden shed manger, a happy old squirrel who enjoyed one last Christmas. Spring thawed and mud season returned with the black flies to the North Country hamlet. I discovered Mr. Squirrel's remains when I reopened the garden shed. gently and moved his body and buried him underneath the big red pine. Pine sap silently wept from the entire community. Spring sunshine brought baby yellow daffodils. They rang like church bells in the breeze, announcing the season of rebirth had begun once again.
Great read and write, Gary. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And thank you to your friend, the musician, who I apologize. I didn't think to ask you their name, so I can't give them credit. But thank you to them for the music that they played on your SoundCloud. Absolutely wonderful. I think Gene would very much like this one, especially with, you know, the old squirrel that learns to enjoy Christmas. Gary's notes, he says, the poem's title and so much of the story is in memory of All Seasons Verse, who loved writing for her grandchildren. She also was a hospice worker who encouraged me to write One Last Trip to the Lake. I will forever miss her friendship and encouragement. And then the holiday, one final note, the holidays are a difficult time for those that are suffering and those that mourn. You know, if I miss you, buddy. Wonderful acknowledgments there. Rex, your thoughts?
Well, he used the squirrel as a metaphor for an older gentleman, so to speak. I do like this. And he ran that squirrel story totally. So it could be offered up as a children's story. And ran along that. The idea of the tree giving up a little bit of bent growth to offer up a small hovel in a shed, which was a nice touch, and the wreath of pine needles, walnuts, and stuff spread along the floor, new home, and grass, a bed. So the idea of hitting on that idea of having one last Christmas to enjoy hits with a nice note, and then the thought with the being buried by the red pine, and then you get fresh yellow daffodils offering up the new year, but also the daffodils offering up that idea of him providing a little bit of nuance and I hate to say fertilizer, but it would be that, but it's a little bit of himself back into the earth from which more new growth can be offered up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And I like what you had to say there, because it could be literally a story about an old squirrel, but it also does work really well as a metaphor for, you know, taking care of the elderly, making sure that they have, you know, perhaps what might be their one last good holiday. So great observations there. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, it was lovely. It worked both ways, yeah. I love that stanza about the big red, the tree trunk. Big red pine tree gradually and proudly puffed out his chest. Undetected, he leaned into my garden shed, anticipating Mr. Squirrel's need for assisted living. Red pushed through the shed siding to nudge open a brand new tiny back door. That's just so sweet. That just makes my old heart melt. Lovely. And yes, it is. It's true that we need to remember all around us people are getting older and older because we're living so long. Damn it. We're living way too long that there are a lot of people who need help. And it's nice to remember them, especially when there's particular times when you've got the happy and you've got the sad, you've got the now and you've got the used to be. To remember. So yeah, beautifully done. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Yeah, this is beautiful. It's just such grand storytelling. You know, looking at the way we can help each other and help nature and spread that Christmas joy. I really like the children squealed with delight and it brought a smile to his wrinkled face. His last days grew wintertime short. He peacefully died in his garden shed manger, a happy old squirrel who enjoyed one last Christmas. And I like how that speaks on the connection between generations. Just wonderful lines and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Winston Winter by Olivier. And you have a SoundCloud for that.
All right. Here we go.
Winston Winter. Winston Winter went out sledding on Christmas Day last year. He had no time for presents or for spreading Christmas cheer. When Winston was a boy, he was not a Christmas fan. And if he was, he might not have become a snowman. Winston went up the tallest hill that he could find. But when he started down on his sled, he fell on his behind. Winston Winter tumbled down the snow-covered hillside and rolled into three balls of snow, and he was stuck inside. As Winston rolled past a tree, he took two twigs with him, rolled through a garden, plucked a carrot and some charcoal from a bin. Two twigs for arms, a carrot nose, and charcoal eyes and grin. And as he rolled, he found a hat and a lost scarf to wrap his chin. Winston popped upright and caught up to his sleigh, and then he slid through town atop it. There was no stopping him. As he rode by, his neighbors, friends, and family marveled at the way that a perfect snowman was zooming past on Winston's sleigh on Christmas Day. They all knew that Winston Winter was not a Christmas fan. So excitedly, they all followed after this Christmas miracle snowman. But when they arrived at town square, their joy turned into fright as it crashed into the Christmas tree covered with ornaments and lights. They all gathered round as the powdered snow began to set, and all at once they gasped when they saw Winston Winter cold and wet. They quickly gathered warm blankets and something warm and sweet for him to drink. And that's when Winston Winter began to stop and think. Christmas cheer is something more than toys and caroling. It's enjoying people that care and love you when you have nothing to bring.
Great read and write there, Olivier. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. You have a wonderful reading voice, and I look forward to you creating more SoundClouds for us and for the shows. And Rex, your thoughts?
Oh, that was quite the Scrooge tale with a different ending, playing off the snowman. So that worked well, as well as the full description. And this does walk as that note to Scrooge, but in a tale that sings of itself, because the snowman, or Winston, coming up as a snowman, crashing through the town, taking down the trees and lights, and ends up a molten mess of wet, snowy sludge, so to speak. And yet he gets to find out really what the whole season is about, and it leaves him with a note of that which he is to think, and he wakes up with a new spirit. So I like that. A different take on even Frosty the Snowman and Scrooge, but hey, it works as a nice story on its own, and it does have a great rhythm to it that even with the long lines, it sets itself to the tone of a well-composed piece that could weather time and ages and sing all by itself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there. Yeah, I too really like the lesson learned at the end and what the season is truly all about. Kate, your thoughts?
Yes. Again, we have this wonderful thoughts of what we should be and how we should be feeling and how we can reach those goals just by thinking of other people and enjoying giving and loving, which is wonderful, because not all of us have that in us. And Mr. Winston Winter certainly did not. He was not a happy chappy, but he learned it can be fun. You just have to let go a little bit and trust people. And it doesn't last for long, so you'll be happy back to being again. I love the fact that he's rolling and he's finding the twigs and the carrot nose and the eyes and the grin. And then he finds the scarf. Perfect. So, yeah, I loved it. I love the imagining in it, and I love the ability to put all those wonderful thoughts together to give us a lovely story. So thank you.
And magically pops into the play upright.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cool.
Great, great comment there. And yes, absolutely. I woke up. This was a wonderful, wonderful story, right? Done by Olivier, which is great for young and old alike. And I did like how, as you were mentioning, Rex, it kind of has a Christmas Carol feel, the idea of, you know, somebody who's grumpy and, you know, kind of does learn the true meaning of the holidays. And I like how he tells the story through the character Winston Winter, someone who was once a young boy and, you know, then turned into a snowman. It kind of makes me think of the movie with Michael Keaton in it. What was that called? Like Frosty? Or I can't remember what it's called exactly, but the dad becomes a snowman. Yeah, that was a great movie, a great Christmas movie, and learns the joy of family and Christmas. You know, I really like the flow of this, and they all knew that Winston Winter was not a Christmas fan, so excited they all follow after this Christmas miracle snowman. But when they arrived at town square, their joy turned into fright as it crashed into the Christmas tree covered with ornaments and lights. And then, of course, that end. Christmas cheer is something more than toys and caroling. It's enjoying people that care and love you when they have nothing to bring. Just a wonderful write and very well done. And I have noticed, Rex, that you did put up a poem, which I appreciate. But seeing that it's the first poem from the Tell Us a Story contest, and that those are from 200 to 500 words, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up the show, because I don't think we'll be able to give her the comments that, you know, the time and comments. So we'll carry that over. Yeah, and of course, we do have carryovers specifically from the Tell Us a Story, right, which will go on a different show. I'm not sure which one yet, but they will get there. And when I know, I'll let other people know. Thank you, Rex, as always, for being a wonderful co-host. Thank you, Kate and Naomi, for calling in. Thank you to Hats and Olivier for hanging on the board, and Robbie. We appreciate you all. Thank you to everyone who wrote to the show, who's listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you. And thank you to Jean for all that she does. You know, as I was saying, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Please join Fill My Eyes and Company for Dear Santa. And, of course, keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts and hostesses, because you're definitely sure to find something to inspire. And anything you'd like to say in closing?
Nope.
Well, what is that going on for Sunday's show? Tell us that.
We've got, that would be, I had some funny Christmas songs to play on. That was just for something a little different. We had Raging Cajun Redneck Christmas by the guys from Duck Dynasty, Santa Claus the Original Hippie, Santa Claus Boogie. I had some fun songs for a different look. And then oh, come on, ye grateful dead heads, just for some reason. Present face, that look people give you when they realize, oh, yeah, that's not quite what you're supposed to bring. Present face. And what else do we have? Grandma got run over by a reindeer. And I thought that would be a nice Santa Claus wants some heaven. And what else we got? Merry Christmas from the Ramones. I don't want to fight. And Santa Claus is watching you. And, oh, yes, I picked this one because I found it. Max Headroom. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you've got some awesome prompts there. I actually wrote to the song about Santa being the original hippie. So I've got all kinds of fun stuff going on in my right. And I noticed other people seem to have a lot of fun with it. So very cool. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And have a good night.
Good night.